Well, you know, God told me this morning, like I told Aaron to tell you, that the sickness that went through the church has stolen our joy. So we need to get our joy back. We need to get that depression, that heaviness off of us, you know. And we need to move forward so people can see the joy of the Lord in us and around us. And God is always right, right? If you really think about it, you know, your joy has sort of... Remember how God kept emphasizing to us that we need to build up our joy? Because he knew this day was coming, and he knew that we were going to lose our joy. And so he was warning us about it, and, you know, we heard, and we comprehended what he said, but I don't know about you, but there were days that my joy wasn't there. Being honest, there are days of joy is not there. And so then you just have to tell God you're sorry and just move on, right? Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory. You truly are in the house tonight. There's no heaviness. And Father God, I know your Holy Spirit's here in all of your glory. I know the holy angels are here, Father God, to minister to your people. Now, Father God, this is your teaching. This is your word. And I want you to open up this people's ears, their spiritual ears, and let them hear what you're saying. And Father God, let it go deep into their spirit man. Cover it with the blood of Jesus. The enemy can't steal it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'm just hearing God say, my glory is going to cover the earth real soon. And my glory basket is just going to drop. And this basket will my glory will gather in the harvest of lost souls. I have been preparing you for this season. I am getting you ready so that you know who you are in me, so that the enemy cannot bombard you and take you off course, as he has some already. You must stand tall and you must stand firm, and you must know that I am the living God. I am the great I am, and there is none other like unto me. Go through your storms, little one. Go through your testings and your trials and your tribulations. But do not forget who you are in me. You are my elect, my chosen. You are called out of darkness into my marvelous light. And so this night I say unto you, rejoice. And I say, just simply rejoice in me and know that I am the living Savior and that I am with you no matter what storm you're going through. Run to the eye of the storm, little ones, and find the peace in the midst of the biggest storm that you've ever been through. Find peace, find rest in my arms, and allow me to encourage and lift you up into the heavenly places. We thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father. You know, there's a whole lot of people in the body of Christ that God told me they're delusional. They're walking in delusion. And it's just not one person in the body of Christ. It's many in the body of Christ. And when you walk in delusion, the enemy pulls you out of the arms of the Father. And he doesn't care who you are or what you are. He's going to work at pulling you out of the Father's arms. See, this is why you have to know that you know that you know that, first of all, you're in Christ. Then you have to know that you know that you know that you're where God wants you to be. Then when the enemy comes and rants and raves at you and tries to discourage you, you won't be discouraged and you won't be brought down because you understand the fullness of who you are in Christ and the calling he has upon your life. I know a lot of you, God has told you you're going to do this, that, and the other, and you will. But I know a lot of people have gotten discouraged because it's been a long time. Remember when he told me over 10 years ago to tell you the glory was coming, but not to grow weary in telling you that. Well, you know, it's every now and then I said, God, did I really hear your voice? I know I did. And the same way with your callings. You know, God gave you a prophetic word maybe 10 years ago, and it still hasn't come to pass. But that is going to come to pass. I hear God say in the near future, within the next year, you're going to be walking in the calling that God has called you to walk in. And he said he's given you an everlasting covenant, and he will never lie to you. And what he has promised you, he is going to perform. All right? You know, there's things that we had to learn, things God had to take out of us, you know, so we could, when he puts us in our calling, that we won't stumble and fall and cause others to stumble and fall. like the other night, you know, I was talking to God. I said, God, are you finished with me? He said, no, you haven't yet begun. You know, and I remember Kenneth Hagin. He told Kenneth Hagin ministered, what, for 30 years? Then God said, you haven't even touched him in my garment yet. And look what God did with Kenneth Hagin. So, you know, guys, you know, you haven't even started yet. And when this glory drops, then you'll really start doing. Yes, we're working for God. You know, I didn't say we weren't. But your calling that God has upon your life is going to be manifested. And then you're going to be thrust out there into that wolf's den out there. And, you know, you're going to have to be built up and know who you are so that you can go ahead and do the things God's called you for to do. All right. This sickness that is upon the earth, if you happen to get it and then you came through it, God's letting the devil see that you know that there's no sickness that can take you out. Whatever trial you're going through it because God had to strengthen you in that area. All right. God's told me that I'm going to have a Catherine Kuhlman anointing. So, you know, I believe that all the sickness that I've been going through, you know, and winning and coming through, then the anointing will be that much stronger, you know, than it was if I hadn't got sick. I mean, that's how I perceive it anyhow. And I believe with each one of you, if you think about what God's calling you forth to do, you'll go through some storms related to that area. And as you come through each storm, it just makes you stronger and builds you up, builds character in you so that then you can go forth and do the mighty works that God's calling you forth to do. It's just that simple. But see, we get caught up in the storm and we don't move out of the storm. And then there we are. We're just betwixt and between and we never fulfill what God's calling us forth to do. I know there's a lot of pain, you know, physical pain in the body of Christ. And I was believing this morning that God would perform some miracle. He did something for me. You know, with this thing, sciatica come on me. Everybody says, well, starch your hip. I said, my hip doesn't hurt. Well, last night, no, what is day? Sunday, sir. Friday, I got up and I had the worst pain in my hip I ever had in my life. And when I was sitting here this morning, I couldn't even hardly sit still. And I prayed during that song that God said, God, take this pain out of my hip. And he did. My hip doesn't hurt no more. You know, and the rest of my leg does, but the hip doesn't. And I got exactly what I asked for. That's why I was hoping that everybody would just enter into that song. I could feel it when you guys were tired of it. I felt it. I felt the anointing lift off of it. And see, it shouldn't ever lift it off of that song. You thought it dragged on too long. No, it didn't drag on too long. The more you hear that, the more it should have gotten your spirit man, and it should have uplifted you and caused you to get your healing or whatever you needed. But it didn't work that way. You get tired of hearing it. I think sometimes that's what you do with the Word of God. You get tired of hearing it. And so you just sort of turn it off. So let's not do that, all right? Did you say you had a testimony, Astrid? Yeah, I think she did tell me that. Wait till you get a microphone. Now, you know, she speaks Spanish or something. And if she gets excited, she can't understand her. So don't get excited.
Okay. Okay, let me slow down. This afternoon, when I got back to the house, I had that urgency to leave the house. And I understand now why the Lord put me in the neighborhood that I live in. He say, I want you to get out. And I usually take Hilo for a walk. And I supposed to rest because I was in the hospital just a few days ago. That was an attack of the enemy when I was about to come to church. Pastor Barbara know that. Okay. So when I got out, and just going with Kilo, that's my doggy, and the Lord said, keep going through that street. That's on the street next to where I live. I live in Arctic, the other street. When I'm going through there, there's a bridge. In that bridge on the left, I took the war anointing oil, and the Lord told me, I want you to put that on the bridge. On the other side are the school, the Smyrna Middle School and the high school. And there's been some issues last week on the school. There was, trying to say, a bomb threat, and forgot to say that to you guys. And there was a phone call And Angie was at the school, and it was there was a child that has a gun in the, and they were able to cut up that, but that phone call really got me nervous. And I forgot about everything. I let that get to me, and I shouldn't let it. And I see that contribute for me to be, could be the stress, you know, to get in the hospital. That was it. I was going through a lot that week. So what can I say? I was being attacked by the enemy nonstop, but today I had decided to give everything to the Lord. Yesterday, other things happened that's kind of personal. I'll leave it. I gave it to the Lord too. And when I go, the Lord said, go across that field, anoint that. And then my dog was acting up. But I told my doggy, stop. I see two children of my daughter's age. They're like, they should be 12 or 13. And they were walking. And then the only thing I could remember is the only thing I could remember. I pray for them. One of his name is Adam, and the other one, I forgot the name. The Lord told me, do not go out. Told me to tell them, do not go out. And they were Christian. I didn't know that. I never saw them before. They were just walking. There was another child going, trying to disturb. The enemy was still battling me. I ministered to them, and the Lord told them not to get out because the life will be a threat. I just being obedient to go to the Lord, hearing, I heard his voice. And then after that, he told me, go home. So I just went home. What I'm trying to say is, no matter what you're doing, being ready in season and out of season, just do what the Lord tells you to do, because they are like 12, 13. You're saving somebody's life. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. If we let our circumstances take us, then we can miss a soul or save someone's life. Amen.
What she was saying is that God told her to tell those two people not to go Halloweening because there was death out there. And see, so she went and warned them. Now what they did with the warning is up to them. But God knew that there was going to be something happen to those girls if they went out and did Halloween. And we know that's not of God. And you know, Astrid goes through so much. She goes through so much more than you can ever imagine. But yet God gives her visions all the time. And he speaks to her and tells her to go here or go there, and she goes. And if you watch her in the church, she really worships the Lord. She, you know, it doesn't matter what she's going through, she really worships the Lord. And God uses people like that. I call us simple people. We don't have enough sense not to do that. And see, everybody's trying to act so dignified. You know, God doesn't want you dignified. He wants you. He wants you the way he made you. And just obey his voice when he talks. I remember one pastor told me that he told her to move here to Delaware. He told her to go to the University of Delaware and get a degree and be a school teacher here. So she did all that. And then, you know, and he was always talking to her, and she would do what he said. And one night he got her up at 2 o'clock in the morning and told her to go to this certain street. So she went to this street. There wasn't anything there, anybody there, nothing. And she said, God, what am I doing here? And he didn't answer her. So she turned around and went home. It was just an act of obedience. Would she get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go there to that street, even though nothing was going to happen there? And see, with Astrid, God had a purpose for her to go there. And I don't know about you, but I felt the anointing the minute she started giving a testimony about God telling her to go out. The anointing, when the Holy Spirit went all over me, you know, to witness to me that what she was saying was the truth. So we just have to be obedient. Now, I don't want y'all saying, well, God told me to get 4 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning and go down to the river or something. You know, you don't do that kind of stuff. It's only if God tells you to do it. You know, my son-in-law back there, Johnny, he'll say to me, Mom, I just feel like this is what's going to happen. Or you know, and I know that God's telling him something. And so he listens to what God tells him to do. And the other day, he was in my room, and I had hid some money, and I forgot where I hid it. And he says, I can tell you where it's at. He told me, sure enough, that's exactly where it was at. And he hadn't been in my study, so he didn't know. But the Holy Spirit showed him where it was at so we could find it, because he needed it right at that point to go pay a bill. And see, we just have to be obedient. He doesn't know the things of the Spirit like we do, but God still does talk to him. and reveals things to them. So who are we to say, well, look how you're living. God doesn't talk to you. Yes, he does. He talks to the sinners because he wants the sinners saved, right? And what better way to do it than to use them to do miracles? Okay, let's get into this teaching tonight, the strong delusion. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely... This is about Adam and Eve. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and blessing and calamity you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then Genesis 3, 1 through 5 says, now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? How many times have you heard a verse say, voice say, or people say, has God really said, right? And verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, blessing and calamity. See, whenever God said you shall die, it wasn't a physical death, it was a spiritual death they were going to go through. And Satan was right when he said you won't die. You won't die physically, but you'll die spiritually. Then Genesis chapter 3, verse 9 says, but the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate. There you go, men, always blaming some on your wife. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled, cheated, outwitted, and deceived me, and I ate. That's what the devil does to God's children. He beguiles, he cheats, he outwits, and deceives. And then you go into your sin. All right, deception was first birthed in the garden and the deceiver. Satan is still using the same tactic to take out God's elect. Deception was first birthed in the garden. And that's why I read those scriptures, because this is what God said. He gave me that one-liner, and then I went from there. Satan is still using the same tactic to take out God's elect. We are presently in the midst of a strong delusion. And I'm teaching this because of some things that have happened, and God said that people are delusional, and they're losing their walk with him. Strong delusion changes our perceptions of what is good and what is evil to prepare the way of the beast. When you get into that delusion, then you will believe the lie. We know there are many antichrists already in the world, but the antichrist is not on the scene yet. But the antichrists that are sitting in the houses of God or in the government or in the grocery stores or wherever, they're doing their work for the enemy. You have antichrists in your own home. You know, if you have a lot of people living in your home and they're not serving God, they're antichrist in your home. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, you see right there, God is going to consume Satan. He's going to be destroyed. He already tells us that in the Word. So why do we keep obeying him? Why do we keep allowing him to drag us back into the pit again? Because he's not the victor. We are the victor. We are the ones that are head over him. He's not head over us, but we allow him to be head over us at times, and we need to stop that. All right, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. See, your antichrist come working with the works of Satan, which is all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. if God has told you something and that's you didn't want to hear that, then you're going to be upset with it. It's always going to be in your spirit. And eventually, give it time to grow. God, if you won't let go of that thing, God will send you a lying spirit that will tell you that that's not right. And then you want it, because you want to believe it, you'll believe it. And then your life's messed up. All right, let's just say that, I'll use Barbara, it won't upset her. Just say that Barbara wants to be, she wants to be the top dog in a glow. I'll just say that, all right? And so she wants to be that. And so she has that in her spirit. Now she just thinks that day and night. And then the devil's going to send it. And so she, and then God tells her, you're not going to be the top dog. You might be in the middle, but you're not going to be the top dog. But no, she wants to be the top dog, and she won't let go of that thing. And so God will send a lying spirit to her to tell her she is the top dog. And then she'll believe that and take a hold of that and run, and messes up her whole life. You know? I've had people say to me, I can teach better than you can, and I'm going to take over your church. And I said, God didn't give you the church, and you can't take it. You know? Well, then I'm going to go out and start my own. But they go out and start their own, and it falls. Why? Because they did it all wrong. And they wanted to be the pastor, so, and no matter what was said to them, they were going to be the pastor. And so God said, okay, I'll let you go out there and be a pastor, but it's not going to work. That's why you need to keep your nose on your own face. And you need to quit sticking your nose in everybody else's business. And you just need to make sure you're doing what God's calling you to do. Are you understanding this? Too many of us are sticking our nose in other people's business. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Now remember, they're speaking to the church, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Paul's saying, the things we taught you, hold on to them. Don't let the enemy take them away from you. See, and this is what happens. You know, you're in a good Bible teaching church where the Spirit of God is moving, and you're hearing the truth, but there's a seed inside of you that keeps saying, that's not the truth, that's not the truth, that's not the truth. And the next thing you know, you get a lying spirit, and the lying spirit will drag you right on out. All right, here's a little story I read. There was a boy in England on the countryside walking down a lane followed by a pig. Had he been followed by a dog, no one would have thought of it. But it was unusual to see a boy walking down the lane followed by a pig. And a man passing by, noticing it, said to the lad, how do you get that pig to follow you? And he said, I do it with a bag of beans, and I put deception there. That deception's my word. I drop a bean or deception here, and a bean or deception there, and a bean's or deception there, and the pig comes and he follows me, eating the beans or the deception. Isn't that how Satan does it? Deception, little thing at a time. And the man said, where are you taking the pig? And the boy said, to the slaughterhouse. Then I put it to the abyss. So the pig's being deceived. You know, we're not pigs, but there's a lot of people in the body of Christ are being deceived, and we're following the wrong voice. Every one of you sitting in here, you know, if you know that you're not doing right and you're preaching, you need to quit preaching. You need to step down until you get yourself together. Because you're going to stand before God and you're going to be held accountable for every soul that you drug down into the abyss. You really are. And if you're not walking right yourself, then you need to step down and get yourself together. There's too many preachers sitting behind a pulpit that don't want to give up that authority, and they're in sin, and they're causing a lot of people in the church to fall. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. God will send them strong delusion and energy, a working of deception, led astray, that they might be damned who believe not the truth. In 1 Timothy 4:1-2, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. God said some are going to fall away. You're seeing that falling away going right now. Right now. And the reason why you can't get a person truly 100% converted is because they see things in the house of God that shouldn't be going on, and so they don't believe what you told them. They don't believe anything you tell them. You know, if you have a bad temper and you're always cussing and carrying on, you know, and you're trying to win somebody to Christ, why would they want to follow you? They're already in that mess. All right? 2 Peter 2:1-2 says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. There will be false prophets among the people. I'm going to tell you right here, I've told you before, but if you're out of sorts, do not be prophesying to anybody. And if you feel like there, you know, you're prophesying and something, you know, a mixture's getting in there, stop. You don't have to go and just say, stop, I don't hear no more. And because you're not hearing from God, and you just need to just stop. Like this morning, you know, God would say, I want this one spoke to, I'm going to give a word to this, I'm going to give a word to that one. And I had no anointing to do that, and I know that. And so then I just, you know, God will say, use this one or use that one. To begin with, he's training you, but to end with, what I'm getting to point here is I know there's not an anointing to give you a word. So if I try to give you a word, it's going to be a mixture. It's going to be from the devil, not from God. So I just don't say nothing. I don't have to be stand up here and prophesy. I've been doing that for 30-some years now. But I don't have to do that. You know, I'm not magnifying myself or my giftings. We're magnifying Christ, right? So too many people are trying to, they're trying to prophesy. They're trying to make the Spirit move. I've told you, you can't make the Spirit move. Just like God said, you can't make me drop my glory. So quit trying. And I was really trying. He said, I'm going to drop it when I want to drop it. And there's nothing you can say or do to make me do it before it's time. You've got to quit trying to be the number one dog. You just have to be you and just let God just go ahead and move on you. I remember when I was first born again, you know, a couple of years or so, but I was in a church and we had already closed down and I was a deacon and my husband was a deacon also. And we always greeted the people as they went out. And I walked back to the door and they had a bench back there and I sat down on the bench. I was shaking so bad I couldn't stand up. And I never experienced that. And then the pastor all of a sudden said, everybody sit back down because Sister Barbara has a word for the church. For 15 minutes, I prophesied. I went to one couple, prophesied to one couple, death, because they were in deep sin. But for 15 minutes, the pastor saw the anointing and said, she's going to give a word. But the people didn't change, but still, no, he saw the gifting, and he used it. Now, if I see a gifting in here, I use it. You know, if God shows me, and then I use it. I don't have to be the one to do it. Are you understanding this? I know a lot of people are happy because it gives them a chance to sit up here and show y'all what they have. But that's not God. You don't do that. You do it because there's a need in the house of God. Amen? And you know, I told Johnny tonight, I said, Johnny, you're going to drive me in church because I can't make it. I was in such severe pain. He said, Mom, why don't you stay home? I said, nope, I'm going to show the devil I'm going to church, pain or not. You know, I've been out of the pulpit too long, and the enemy's starting to take over the church. There was different vibrations going on in the church, and God showed me that. He said, you got to go back and get control of the church again. And so he didn't care how sick I was. He said, get yourself back in there. You know, that'll happen to each one of you, or it might already be happening to you. Maybe you knew something's made you stay out of church, and you've more or less given up your authority. And so the devil, I'm not saying you're the devil, but the devil takes over. He puts thoughts in people's heads, you know, and fills people full of pride. Next thing you know, nobody knows what's going on, and everybody's walking in confusion. All right, 2 Peter 1 and 2, and we read that. All right, Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. We're all flesh sitting in here, including me. You know, and my feathers get ruffled the same as your feathers get ruffled. I'm not dead yet. You know, I was reading the Bible the other day. What did Jesus call this man? I forgot what it was. I said, see? I said to myself, Jesus did it too. He got upset with somebody and called him a name. But, you know, you're trying to be so spiritual and really truly. Just be human. Jesus was human. He got mad, right? Now, he went into church and turned the tables over, right? Used a whip and chased everybody out of there. Called some people brood of vipers. You just read what he said to people. He didn't say it nicely either. All right, so Genesis 6:3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Now, you need to understand in my next statement, God is already closing and opening doors. God has spoke years ago and said that there's going to be ministers he's going to take out of the pulpits. He's just going to close our churches down, and he's going to bring fresh new voices into the house of God, open doors for fresh new people to come in. And so be careful. If you have a ministry, be careful. God just might close your door. Genesis 7:16. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. He's talking this about Noah and the ark. Who shut him in? God. When the rain started to fall, the people beat on the door and commanded Noah to open the door. Why didn't Noah open the door? The word says God closed the door. Noah had nothing to do with opening or closing the door of the ark. He could not do it. That was God's job. You can't open a church, really, you know, if it's really, unless God's telling you, you can open it in your flesh, but unless God's telling you to do it, it's not going to amount to anything. It won't grow. Like God called Barbara to do a glow, and he did do that, but she can get in her flesh and lose it. God can shut the door too as well as open it. Same way with the church here. Okay, Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I wanted God to shut the doors here one time because I was really discouraged. And he said, if this door gets shut, you shut it, because he said, I am never going to shut the doors of this church. I open them and they're going to remain open. So what's God doing in your life? Did he open the door for you to step into something? If he did, then he's not going to close that door unless he's going to take you a different direction. But if he's going to take you a different direction, he'll tell you so before he closes the door. All right? We find that same thing with the five foolish virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And that Matthew 25:10 says, and while they went to buy, you know, the five of the foolish virgins, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And when they came back, the door was shut. And Matthew 25:11 tells us, afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Then Matthew 25:12 says, but the bridegroom answered, certainly not. I don't even know you. God had already shut the door, you know, because he told us, you have to be ready or you won't be ever able to enter in. God is the one who shut the door to that wedding feast. You know, you can do something. God can give you the best word in the world about what he's going to do with you, but you can do one stupid thing and lose it all. I know right now, I know people have lost their ministry because they did something that was not of God. So he's taken your ministry away from you. You know, it's none of you in here, but you know, we know people like that. That's sad, because their ministry was going to be a powerful ministry. Now, I'm not saying God can't give them another ministry, But I'm saying they lost the powerful ministry he really wanted them to walk into. So each one of us in here need to be very careful what we're doing, because God can shut us down as quick as he opened us up. We have the same confirmation in the life of Esau. Though he sought it carefully with tears, he could not undo those decisions that he had made. So what did Esau do? He sold his life for a bowl of beans. And he couldn't, after he ate the beans, just too late. He already lost what he was supposed to have. Now Hebrews 12:6, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Be careful that no one commits sexual sin, and be careful that no one is like Esau and never thinks about God. As the oldest son, Esau would have inherited everything from his father, but he sold it all for a single meal. What is your how important is your ministry? Is that sin so great that you'll want to lose everything God has promised you you're going to go into? I don't think so. All right, you know, I have children that are messed up, and God's given me great promises for them. Now, and as long as I stay right with God, those promises are going to be yes and amen. But if I mess up, what might happen to my children? You know, you have to think beyond your head and beyond yourself and start thinking about the people that you're going to touch around about you. I've told you many times, you just don't take yourself down, you take everybody down that's around about you. Look at these churches that have pastors that have fallen. Look how it messed the people up and how they just quit churches, they just scattered all over the place. If you're going to be a child of God and be a minister of God, then live like Jesus did. And be holy, and be righteous so that you don't lead anybody else astray. All right, we have another example. Well, okay, so in that, when I just told you about Esau, you can also find that in Genesis 25, 29 through 34, and Genesis 27, 38 through 41. Now, we have another example in the life of Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. You can find that in Exodus 8:15 and Exodus 8:32 and Exodus 9:34. And then it says God hardened his heart. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart, and then it tells us God hardened his heart, confirmed him in the decision that he had made. God said, okay, you want to do this little thing? I'll harden your heart for you. In Exodus 10:1, now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. And three times Pharaoh hardened his heart, and then God hardened his heart. You know, he kept saying, let my people go. He said, nope, not going to do it. So finally, God said, okay, I'll fix you. I'll harden your heart. And then I'm going to take your son. Same scripture describes Saul who turning aside from the appeal of Samuel, the prophet of God, and turning aside from the expressed and manifest will of God. All right, so Saul went against the prophet's word and lost everything he had with God, is what that scripture's telling you. And that's in 1 Samuel 15:1 through 15. It finally says in 1 Samuel 16:14, the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. You'll know when the spirit of God leaves you. You will, and you'll cry, and you'll cry, and you'll cry. Too late. God warned you, and you didn't take the warning. I think he told us in here tonight, you have to make your decision tonight what you're going to do. Now, whatever happens in their life from the other night, from then on, is up. You know, they've made that choice. They chose to either serve God or not serve God. So whatever trouble they're in, that was their own making. Romans 1:24 says, wherefore God gave them up. Then Romans 1:26 says, for this cause God gave them up. In Romans 1:28, God gave them up. God gave them up because they wouldn't do what God told them to do. Let's read Romans 1:26-32. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men and women committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We aren't allowed to do any of these things. We're going against God's commandments. And if you keep doing them, God's going to turn you over to what kind of mind was it? Debased mind. And then you can't quit. You can't quit. You know, people just don't stand their ground. You have to make a decision, and the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail. He's going to throw all of hell at you, trying to make you do what you don't want to do. You have to be the one to say, it's your body, it's your life, it's your salvation. You have to be the one to say, devil, no, I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to serve God, and then serve him. We live in a dispensation of time where it's just easy come, easy go. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about it at all. And that's not right. That's not God's word. Church, if you keep saying no and no and no to God, you will be another Pharaoh. You will die in that negative no. I hear this all the time. Preacher, I can repent any time. I can give my life to the devil. And then at the end of it, I can come and be saved. Don't try to scare me. The unsaved say, I've heard the preacher say, and he's a God of mercy in Deuteronomy 4:31. I've heard him say, Ezekiel 18:23, he delights not in the death of anyone. I've heard him say, and whosoever will may come, in Revelation 22:17. I have said no to him 40 years. I'm going to say no to him 30 more years. And at the end of 70 years, after I have given my life to the world, I'm coming down that aisle and be saved. You hear, a preacher hears that all the time. And so I put, are you, can you, and will you? Because you know the truth. You know the truth. And you refuse the truth, and you still stay out there in that mess. I hope this scares some of you. And it scares you into stopping and thinking about your life, and how hard are you truly fighting to try to get out of the mess that you're in? Second Thessalonians 2:11-12, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they might be damned who reject the truth. Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. How many times has God come to you and shown you grace after grace after grace, and you still stay in your sin and still do what you want to do? This is not a message of condemnation either, neither was this morning's. This is a message to get you to see the light and to turn from your wicked, evil ways so that you can one day sit in heavenly places. In Galatians 3:1-6 says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, or are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? O foolish church, who has bewitched you, and why did you allow them to do that? Come on. You know, somebody used to come to the church. They were here for years, and all of a sudden one day they said, well, we're going to go to this other church because all the rich people go there, and I want to rub elbows with the rich. You know, there was all kind of bad things going on in the church, but they wanted to rub elbows with the church instead of rubbing elbows with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening here? Who are you trying to rub elbows with? Who cares what people think about you? You go ahead and follow God and do what God's calling you forth to do. And I don't know about you guys, but I know that I'm going through another Job experience right now. And, you know, and Job lost everything, but he never cursed God. And God let him suffer. So if Job can suffer, why can't we? You know, if Job can suffer and never curse God, why can't we? Remember, all of his friends came to him and told him he needed to leave God. His wife said to curse him and everything else. He said, nope. I'm going to follow God. How many of you, or is the devil coming to you day in and day out trying to get you to do your old things you used to do? Sometimes you slip and you fall back into his mess. But it's coming a time when God's not going to allow you to slip and fall anymore. He's saying enough is enough. Enough is enough. You know that sign we had, you know, build a bridge? I noticed a lot of people are using that now. They're telling the people to build a bridge and get over it, you know, and help others over there too. How many of you build a bridge that you can bring others across? You know, from darkness to light. In other words, how many of you have really gotten the sin out of your life where your light is shining bright and God can send you to the darkness, and you, instead of the darkness overtaking you, you overtake the darkness with your light? You're going to have love first. That's your foundation. And then you're going to have grace and mercy, patience, long-suffering. And if you yourself aren't right, you don't have none of those things. Because you aren't trusting God that he can bring you out of that mess. Hello. Church, God has been three services now trying to let you see who you are in Christ so that he can use you. Okay, so let's just say God gives Aaron a church. I think that's what God said he was going to do, preach. And he gives him a church, and Aaron's still in sin. And he stands up there being all prideful, you know, giving all these great messages and everything else. He's not going to go to heaven. He's going to go to hell because he's not going to teach the whole truth. Because if he teaches the whole truth, then you're supposed to live that truth. And he can't live that truth, and so he's going to skirt around it, or, you know, and not even preach it at all, and the people that are sitting there after the congregation are going to go to hell because he didn't teach them the truth and lead them into righteousness. Are you understanding this? All right, then I said, how are you walking, in delusion or in truth? Are you willing to accept the truth for what it really is? Are you willing to say no to the world, to Satan, and go ahead and do the things God's called you for to do? Or are you trying to save face? What is it you're trying to do? Think about this. You know, I was thinking today, you know, Gabriel just turned 14 and said, now, you know, he's no longer a child. He's now getting into manhood, you know, and he's trying to find his footing. And so I had to be very careful how I talk to him and what I teach him, because I could make him or break him. You know, and this is a critical time in his life right now. And I've watched too many people in my years of being a pastor not have enough wisdom how to raise a child, and, you know, and understand their different moods, and destroy the child. One day they're going to stand before God, and God's going to say, why don't you use my word, and, you know, in love, and train them up the way they should go? Because he's not my child, he's God's child. Remember, and God said, they're my children, I just lend them to you for you to raise up in my ways. And how many children do you see not raised up in the ways of God? And then you blame the kids. We blame the kids for the generation we're living in right now. It's not the kids' faults. It's the parents. And then it's the parents before that. This generation is a mess. The body of Christ is a mess. But God's trying. I'm just preaching to this church. You know, I don't preach to the church down the street. God's trying to get this church to a place where you'll be so fulfilled in Christ that you won't want anything of the world. Absolutely nothing. How many of you sort of looking, standing and looking and seeing everything fall around about you? Just seems everything you held dear and built up all of a sudden has fallen. Okay, that's where I'm at. I'm just watching everything fall apart. You know, the only thing I can do is just say, well, God, this is what you did to Job. That's the only thing I can do to keep my sanity because I see myself losing everything. But I know that God told me you're going to have more in the end than you had in the beginning. And this is what I stand on, God's word. Because he told us you're going through Job experiences. So I stand on that word. That's what keeps me going day in and day out. And in fact, God told me that I was one that was born for sorrow. You know, he didn't tell me those things for nothing when I first was born again. He downloaded an awful lot of truths into my spirit. And so I'd be prepared for what's coming down the road. But even though he does that, we're never really prepared. I mean, I never, you know, it hits me and then, you know, then I have to stop and pray and say, well, you showed me this, God, you know. And, you know, he told me, he said, you're going to get a sickness, it's going to be a lot of pain, and it's going to want to bring you, make you an addict. So I'm very careful what I do. Because I don't want to become an addict. He warned me. He warns us. I didn't say, no, I'm not going to pay no attention to you, God. I'm just going to do what I want to do, you know, to survive. We can't do that. How many of you in here, you know that you've done things you shouldn't be doing. You've disobeyed God. And you know, you shut off the Holy Spirit when he starts talking to you. Remember, I did that one time when I ate that peanut. I started singing and everything else, trying to close off the voice of God, saying, what do you think you're doing? You know, and he, I think you're how loud I sang or what I did. You know, he was watching me pick up that peanut and eat it. Broke a 40-day fast over a stupid cashew. Isn't that ridiculous? On the 40th day, God said, you just ate all the blessing I was going to give you. How many of you done that? You just ate the blessing God was going to give you. Are you full of love and compassion and long-suffering? Do you have a sounding board that you can sound off and then get it off your chest and then so you don't bring it out into the world? Everybody needs a sounding board, you know. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for your word tonight. Father, none of us want to walk in delusion. None of us want to say no to you. We don't want the consequences of that. So, Father God, I'm asking right now that you look at each and every heart. And, Father God, I want you to remove the stumbling blocks that are there.